been a while. I don't know if you took time this morning to look in the back, but they have torn out all that concrete. We're getting ready this next week to do some more work. So, yeah, man, I'm excited. It was fun just watching those guys just get out there with their equipment. I don't know about you, but, you know, just being a kid growing up on a farm, you just love playing in the dirt. And I sat there and watched these machines digging. I'm like, God, I'd love to get on one of those machines and just start throwing concrete. You know, just, I mean, you know, as a kid, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I liked destroying things. I did. You see something, you go, yeah, I just want to hit that with a hammer and mash it up. You know, I mean, you just beat things to death. I got in trouble one time because I got in a mood of that. And my dad went out and bought all these chicken coops because, you know, we're on a farm. So we had all these little metal, you know, little slots where the hens would get in there. And I just got in this weird mood one day and decided I was going to get an axe handle and just start beating them up. Even to this day, I don't even have any idea why I did that. But I had plenty of chances to remember and think about why I did that. Because my dad walked out and saw that. And he goes, well, I know what you're doing for the next 6 or 8 weekends. You're going to be working to pay for those because those were brand new. I'm like, you know, what a dummy. I mean, I don't know why. Don't we just do things like that just in the spirit of the moment? And then you just go, what was I thinking? But it was sure fun. So for the next 6 or 8 weekends, you know, that I was working, I thought about how fun it was to use that axe handle and mash that thing to pieces. But anyway, it's exciting to see what's going on in the back. And just want to say, you know, I just want to say how much we appreciate the giving of Bruce Hawley and his foundation to this ministry over really the last 10 years. Those of you that did not know, he passed away this week. And, you know, he's just one of those guys that literally his ministry and his life is going to live on for generations to come, the impact that he made. I did not realize, you know, just as I was searching out and looking at his life, and, you know, I knew a lot of things about him, obviously, meeting with him a number of different times, meeting him up in his office a number of different times, but you just don't get the real picture of this guy until you start reading about his passions and, you know, his heart for the community, his heart for people, his heart for families that work for Discount Tire. If you don't know, John and Betty Arthurs have known, you know, Bruce for 30 years. John Arthurs, our piano player up here, worked for Discount Tire for almost 30 years. And obviously they are going to miss him a lot. There's going to be a big hole in their life and in their heart because of their relationship. But he really is just a tremendous man. And the best thing about him is he was a man of faith. He was a believer. And you could tell that every time you got around him, just his nature and the spirit of the man. And, you know, God has purposes for all things, and he just, you know, went to be with the Lord and asleep. So, you know, and I just wanted to ask us if we could this morning. We prayed for his family and stuff then this morning in pre-service prayer. But I just want to ask us if we could pray for them, his family, for those people that have relationship with him, the company. You know, he's a guy that's kind of been there involved in the company. He's still going to work every day up in his office. And just, you know, it's going to be a tough thing for all of them to get used to not having him around. But he did a good job of setting up the organizational structure so it continues to move on and do all of that. But I just want to ask you if you'd pray with me today for them and their family. Well, Father, we thank you today. We really do thank you today for that relationship, for the kindness of his heart, for the kindness of and generosity of all of the ways he didn't just bless us, but he blessed so many people with his life and with the ways that you blessed him. He truly did understand that principle of being blessed so that you can be a blessing. And he really did do that. His giving to so many people, the millions and millions and millions of dollars that he gave this community, and not just here, but literally all over the world. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We pray for the company. We pray for peace in that company. We pray for this next week as they begin to regroup and go through all of the final things of his life and moving on. We pray for his wife, his children, all of them, Lord, that there would be peace in that family, that there would not be any kind of disruption or that spirit that kind of riles up in some of those kind of situations, Lord. We just pray for peace there, peace with their family, and peace in the company. And we just praise you, Lord, for such a life. And God bless you, Lord, for him and who he was and what gifts you gave to him. And we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, I hope the service time didn't mess you up too bad. You know, one of the reasons that we did that is our goal is to be able to provide a second service with childcare, all the children's ministries. It's more of a convenient time for families. And so our hope is creating this, we are able to touch more people's lives through what we are doing here at Southgate. And I think that as we move into that direction and we continue to move that way, I encourage you, invite families. Get them out. We can do only so much here through the ministry, but most people will come to a church. It's like almost 90% people will come and visit a church if they are personally invited by somebody they know. So I want to encourage you, invite. We're going to be getting you invite cards and different things to tools to be able to invite people. But I encourage you, get in there and invite people. Help us reach more people, because every single soul matters to God. Do you agree with me there? Everyone matters to God. And there are a lot of people in our community that do not know Jesus. And we have a responsibility, and you have a responsibility to reach them. So invite these folks, get them out here. And also, I just wanted to invite you to come out half an hour before service times, 15 minutes. We're going to have pre-service prayer at both of our services. At 8 o'clock, it will start here. And at 10 o'clock, the second service, pre-service prayer time, you can just come and sit in the worship and join us in prayer. Get a chance to just sit in the presence of the Lord, and it'll be really great. So I encourage you, and I invite you to come and be a part of that. Well, this year too, I wanted to let you know we're going to have kind of a little more of a stronger emphasis on families and the health of the family and the health of our marriages, and how we can walk in blessing in the presence of God through our families. And I'm going to tell you more about that as the weeks ahead come upon us, but stay tuned. Just wanted to kind of give you a trailer of all the different things that we're going to be doing this year. Well, if you have your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 6. And my prayer for you this year in 2018 is that this will be a blessed year for you. What does the word blessed mean? What does the word blessed mean? Well, according to many translators of the Bible, they say the word blessed means to be spiritually prosperous, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. To be a blessed person is something we can probably just in our mind define what that would be, is to be spiritually prosperous, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. Did you know, according to the Bible, we are to ask for God's face to shine upon his people. That is a specific statement in the Word of God that we're to ask him. How does that phrase and how do the phrase of blessing fit together? We use the phrase, God bless you, many times in many different ways. We use it when somebody sneezes. We use it in a way of expressing our gratitude to others for their kindness. We say, God bless you. We use it in the form of a prayer request to God for others. We pray that God will bless others. We ask for God's blessing on our food when we eat. We have heard it used in many different ways, and I've actually even heard it in a semi-cuss word from time to time. We have all heard this phrase in many ways, but what does it really mean? Well, this morning, I want to talk about it in connection with the priestly blessing that is found in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. And the beginning of that verse says, the Lord bless you and keep you. How many of you ever heard that phrase? The Lord bless you and keep you. You know, we use that when we pray and dedicate children. When people have a child and they want to say, dedicate that child to the Lord, they come, they bring them up here, and we pray for them as a church, and we pray this blessing upon them. Well, there's a reason for that. Many of us are familiar with that phrase, and we've heard it, but we don't really know maybe sometimes where it comes from or what it means. So let me read this blessing, and then let's look at what we can learn and apply in our day from this prayer. Because the question is, can we apply any of this in our life? Is this prayer, or is just this prayer for the people of Israel, can we apply this to our day and in our time? Does it still work? That's really what we want to understand, right? So in Numbers chapter 6, and beginning in verse 22, this is what it says. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." How many of you would like to know, right out, spoken by the Lord himself, that says to you, "I will bless you"? Wouldn't you like to hear that from the voice of God, of all the things that we could hear, for God just to say right to us, "I will bless you. I will bless you"? As we look at this this morning, at this particular blessings that are stated, you can see that in this particular prayer, they weren't asking for things that are usually asked for when we consider a blessing. There's not a request in this particular prayer for anything material. There's no request for good health. There's no request for money, a bigger house, a better job. Why is that? Why is that in this particular prayer they were not asking for these things? Those things are a blessing, and they're not wrong to have them. It's not wrong to ask for good health. It's not wrong to ask for a good job. But it's interesting that the blessings mentioned here in Numbers chapter 6 are far greater than the earthly temporal blessings that many times we can think of. I believe in this prayer and this blessing, there are several requests that we have that ask for specific blessings, what we can do. And when we ask for those things, when we get those things, it's going to be a whole lot greater than just the little things that we ask for. I think there's something here bigger than just what you and I can imagine in the word blessing. When God gives us blessings, we should thank him for that. There's nothing wrong with having and enjoying the blessings of God. We should enjoy them, but we see in this prayer given by Aaron the priest, we see God's heart in terms of what matters most, what priorities are important, and what they should be. So as we begin the new year, I think it's important for us to establish in our lives and in the lives of people around us, the best we can, those priorities and be able to apply this prayer of blessing to our life. Because if you think about it, we are asking the one, the only one who is able to give us these things. You couldn't ask this particular blessing from anyone on earth and know that you were going to get them, because God and only God can grant this kind of a blessing to you. As your pastor, I can't give that to you. I cannot make God's face shine upon you. As much as I want to, as much as I can pray for it, as much as we can provide an environment for God's face to shine on us, for his presence to be with us, I can't do that for you. That's only something God can do. It's God's department to do that. It's not mine. That's why it's important when we see this that it starts out saying, "The Lord bless you." Aaron didn't say, "I bless you." He said, "The Lord bless you." He said, "The Lord bless you." And when we come to the first specific petition, it says, "The Lord keep you." The Lord keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Just think about those words. The Lord bless you and keep you. This is a request for protection from evil, for protection from the evil one. It's interesting here, as you look at the whole phrase, the Lord bless you and keep you, you see that on the one hand, God is providing blessing for his people, the Lord bless you. And then on the other hand, the Lord keep you, he's being asked to keep guard and protect us from the enemy, from the evil one who wants to steal those blessings from us. How many of you realize that the devil can steal from us even after we have received something good from God? He can absolutely steal good things that God has given to you in your life. He has stolen from us many times. You and I could sit here and probably specifically list out certain things that we would probably say the enemy has stolen this from me. From whatever reason, for whatever circumstance or situation, we have an enemy, he hates us, and he wants to steal from us. Well, that reminds me of something Jesus said about the devil as a thief. Do any of you remember a specific phrase that Jesus spoke to his disciples when he is describing the devil and he said he was a thief? What was that scripture? Anybody know? Right there. The thief cometh, John chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. God's blessings don't kill, don't steal, and they don't destroy. So the Lord gives you his blessings, and then the Lord keeps you. The Lord provides protection for you from evil, for those who try to steal those blessings. Let me ask you this question. What do you think the purpose of this particular protection was specifically for the people of Israel? Because when I read the Bible, I always try to look at it in context of the particular generation that was in, the particular culture that it was in, and how does that passage of Scripture and the word that God gave them apply to them at that time in their life? Well, think about the people of Israel. Here they are. They've come out of Egypt. They've left all the things. There were comforts, what they would consider blessings, all the food, all the clothing, all the resources, the relationships. As bad as it was, at least it was consistent. They leave that. They go into the desert. They don't have any way of taking care of themselves. They're depending on this one guy who says that he met God, and they saw the miracles and all the things that happened, and they leave Egypt. Now they're out there walking in the desert alone, all of them together, by a word that said, God's going to take care of you. So when you put that in context of this scenario, what was this particular protection for the people of Israel? Well, I think the purpose of this protection was to keep Israel in its covenant relationship with God, to keep them from falling away, to keep them in the right relationship, to hold them up and sustain them and to protect them from all of the influences that were around them. We see in the Bible that God was referred to as Israel's keeper. Israel's keeper. So we can see here that the Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our keeper. If you look at Psalm chapter 121, this passage, I think, describes what I'm talking about. Psalm 121. And beginning in verse 1, I want to read this little short chapter to you, but listen to what it says. In Psalm 121, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence my help comes. You ever heard that? Yeah. And it says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Does anybody see some familiarity in this passage of Scripture with other passages of Scripture that have to do with God's protection in our lives? It says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That says to us that it is the Lord who keeps us. I'll tell you, the more I grow in Christ and the longer I'm a Christian, the more I walk through life, the more I'm aware that I cannot keep myself. The fact that I am still a child of God today is not because I have kept holding on to Him. It is because He has held on to me. There's no way in the midst of the challenges that we face in life that we can hold on to this. God has to hold on to us. It is because He is the one who's my keeper. And that should assure you and comfort your heart when you're in those seasons of life and you think, I can't hold on anymore. I've tried. I just can't do it. Ultimately, your salvation, your eternity is in God's hands. We can't save ourselves. He's the one that has to hold on to us, not the other way around. So the people of Israel, God is taking care of them. In the midst of all of the things that were going on in their life, He was going to protect them. And He was going to keep the covenant. Yeah, did they stray through the years? Did they move this way and that way? Yes, but guess what? Jesus came through those people. God kept the covenant with them even when they couldn't keep it with Him. And because of that, we are blessed today in a relationship with God. Listen, you being kept is not dependent on you holding on. It's dependent on the Lord being your keeper. The Lord is holding on to you. You can't trust others to keep you. I love you and have served here for 30 years as faithful as I possibly can, but I can't keep you safe or ultimately guarantee your eternity. The only one who can do that is the Lord. He is the one who keeps us. The Lord is your keeper. You know, that word to keep is a word that means to keep safe, to guard, to preserve, to hedge around something as with thorns. See, because in the days before people had rifles and had ways of building fences that you and I can build today, the way they built fencing back then was they built fences out of huge thorn bushes. They built all of these corrals and these ways of guarding and keeping their animals safe through all of these fences made of thorns. So when the Bible says, uses this word to keep, it is like that. It is like God is going to establish a protection around us to keep us from harm. Do we see this same thought, this same prayer of blessing in the New Testament like we see in Numbers chapter 6, given from Aaron the priest in the Old Testament? Yes, we do. Look at this, which I think is fascinating. Okay, for one thing, the Bible tells us that Aaron was the Old Testament high priest chosen by God. Well, in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6 tells us we have somebody else. It's better. It says, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For He is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. So do we have a high priest right now standing for us, blessing us in the name of the Lord? Absolutely we do. As we come to that high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to look at this. Aaron was told by God through Moses to pray this prayer of blessing. Here's this prayer of blessing. Now look. Here is a parallel passage of Scripture that in the same way Jesus is praying a priestly blessing for His followers and for us. Now watch this. Our great high priest Jesus prays this blessing on us, the Lord keep you. Okay, the Lord keep you. Remember the phrase? Okay, the Lord keep you. Look at this. John chapter 17, and it's in your handout. And as we're reading, as I'm reading this, I want you to see and maybe underline the words kept in Jesus' prayer for His disciples and for us. Listen to what it says. And Jesus said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except for the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should, what? Keep them from evil. In other words, protect them. Don't just give them an escape route, but while they're in this evil world, put a hedge of thorns around them, protect their souls, guard their hearts, keep them from the forces of darkness that fight against them. This is Jesus' prayer for us. Verse 16, he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, that is, the disciples who were living at that time, and this is for you and me, listen, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Who is that? Us. And anybody who believes in the word of God. Verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus prayed for me. Jesus prayed for me. He prayed for you 2,000 years ago. This prayer has traveled through time. 2,000 years of time, and it is still alive and still effective to this day. Listen, if you don't get anything, I want you to listen. Your prayers are effective. Just because you don't see an immediate response to your prayer doesn't mean that it is not effective. When you pray and you believe and you embrace God's promise for you, something can happen in your prayers that are going to outlive you. I believe that. I believe my prayers for my family and for my children are going to outlive me. They are going to extend to generations. Did Jesus' prayer here pass 2,000 years? Yes, it is still alive to us, and it's alive to any person that will embrace this prayer. When you pray, pray for your families, because it's not just for today, it's for the future. If you knew and you could see your prayers were going to touch generations to come, would you pray differently? If you knew they were going to affect three generations down the road, what would you pray? I know I have been kept by the Lord, because the Lord said, the Lord bless you and keep you. Another passage real quick that comes to mind, Jude chapter 1, 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Let me tell you something. God is responsible to present you to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. Nothing we can do to earn or deserve. God is going to do it through his son, Jesus Christ. We can't work ourselves into the blessings of God. The blessings of God come to us because of what Jesus Christ has done. And in this prayer today, this prayer for God to keep us, in this prayer for God to bless us, we need to embrace God's promises for us. And next week we're going to take a look at the next part of that, that says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And I'm going to tell you that you're going to see something in this that you have never seen before. It's parallel New Testament passage that goes right along with all of these things. Jesus is this guy. Jesus is the New Testament priest for you and I, and he is praying a blessing on our lives if we will just say, yes, Lord, I receive that for me and my family. Right now, today, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you today that we put our trust in you, that you have kept us, you have embraced us through thousands of years of challenge and turmoil. The message of the gospel continues in this world. And I just thank you for that this morning. And I pray for anyone here today that may not know you, that they would open up their hearts to you, that you could keep them also, because they are your children. And we ask for this today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Give the Lord a